On Tuesday, I met with ministers from across our region on Zoom. We talked and we prayed about some of the key issues in the UK at this time. And in the light of that, we reflected on what is on the heart of God for us to share and do this Christmas with the people around us. And this really resonated with me because God has been challenging me, and I believe challenging us as a church, about how much of our lives reflects God's heart for the people of the world. And that caused me to ask the question, then what do we see in the life of Jesus that reflects the heart of God? Because if we're called to follow him, to be Christians, to be followers of Jesus, as we call it, to be his hands and his feet in this world, surely that is relevant for us. So over the coming weeks, I want to think about the character, the names of Jesus, and what that might teach us and help us to share the good news of Jesus and to share the heart of God in what is likely to be an incredibly tough Christmas for so many people. If that's our calling, to be Christ-like, then surely looking at Jesus and seeking to be and have his attitude is what we ought to be about. So I just want to think about that. And this morning, I want to consider the trait, the character trait of compassion. When we talk and when we think about God coming into this world in Jesus at Christmas time, undoubtedly we think about baby Jesus. We think about the manger. We think about shepherds. We might even think about the theology that goes on from that and think about the cross and sin and the purpose behind it. But underpinning all of that, underpinning God's mission to the world in Jesus, is love demonstrated by compassion. When we talk to people about what God did at Christmas, whether we recognize what we can talk of in terms of God's compassion. Even Isaiah, the prophet, when he was talking about how he might convey something of God, spoke about God's compassion. Let me share the verse with you. I will tell of the kindness of the Lord, the deeds for which he is to be praised, according to all the Lord has done for us. Yes, the many good things he has done for Israel, according to his compassion and many kindnesses. That's what Isaiah thought was important. And the love of God has been again and again, that love has been demonstrated, hasn't it, through the Old Testament. And isn't that what Jesus showed, that compassion being poured out towards others? And when Jesus stepped into this world and he came and he announced his ministry right at the very beginning of his ministry, after he'd been baptized, he'd been out in the desert. We looked at this just a few weeks ago. He came and he explained, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. And he read from the scroll, speaking these words from Isaiah. Because he, his Father, has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Just look at how compassion underpins all of these things. To proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus came with a radical message about God's kingdom that nobody was hearing from any of the other people, including religious leaders at that time. It was a kingdom whereby entry was guaranteed by faith. It was a kingdom that required obedience, but it was also a kingdom that looked to the loving service being offered to God's people, to neighbors, to anybody who had need, whoever was in need. The dominant attitude and behavior in this new society, in the kingdom of God, was to be loving compassion revealed through action. And so look at the stories that Jesus told, the parables he told, the Sermon on the Mount. He's speaking about how people should relate to one another, and compassion is seen in those again and again. He even spoke literally the words of his Father in Matthew 9, verse 13, when he said these words, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice." They were the words of God spoken through the prophet Hosea. "For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Jesus' life, his entire ministry, was about echoing the compassion that his Father felt for this world, and he would show it. And Jesus demonstrated that compassion for example, children. He welcomed them. He embraced them. He saw their vulnerability. He had compassion for women who in that day and age were considered by most to be socially and spiritually inferior to men. Women at the well, the woman at the well, for example. Jesus reached out to her when she was someone who was excluded from most of the society around her. The woman with the issue of blood, who was unclean in society. The woman who was a prostitute, who was penitent before Jesus, who would still be unacceptable in society. And the women who were sobbing at a funeral of Lazarus. And we read that Jesus before them was moved with compassion. Again and again, to people who had needs, to people who were hurting, to people who were broken, Jesus reached out in compassion. The man at the pool in Bethesda, who'd been there for, was it 37 years? Long abandoned by others, no hope. Jesus reached out to him. The blind man, who the people around considered to be a nuisance, an irritant. The demon-possessed, who most people would run away from, terrified of, full of fear. The lepers, who were unclean. Zacchaeus, tax collectors, who were considered condemned by society. Again and again, Jesus reached out with a compassion that nobody around him was showing in this way. What do we think when we think of Jesus coming at Christmas? I have no doubt that we think about the details of the birth and the manger, as I said, and the sacrificial purpose, perhaps, at the cross at the end. We think of all of those things, but do we see the compassion that enabled him to reach out to people who had a real need, and in the process bring transformation and bring God into their lives because he reached out through what was relevant for them, real need? And I think it is summed up in the words that Nigel read to us in that passage. Let me just show it again. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. If ever there was a verse that was absolutely as appropriate today as it was in the day that it was written, it is surely that verse. Because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. One of the things I hear from people in just about every walk of life right now is, where is this country going? What are we doing? What's the economy going to do? What are pensions going to be like? What is our health service going to be like? It's broken now. Where is it going? And where is the leadership coming from to solve those problems? Where do we look to as we look at parliaments and see people shouting at one another to see the leadership from any place? Those are the things I'm hearing from people. Because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Well, that's the situation that Jesus observed. That's what caused his compassion. But he didn't quite end it there, did he? The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few, he said to them. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Isn't that us? Aren't we the workers that God invites to take on a role, whatever it might be, to follow on from the compassion that we see so desperately poured out to this world? Do you know, the Apostle Paul wrote these words. He said, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Clothe yourselves with passion, compassion. Clothe yourselves. Envelop yourselves, wrap yourselves. This is, compassion is not something to just touch on occasionally, like having a hanky that you might keep. That's my compassion hanky that I take out occasionally. Clothe yourselves, absolutely cover yourselves, wrap yourself in compassion. Let this be the outer garment that people see as they look at you. Isn't that exactly what Jesus did? And how did he do that? He did it by not just passing by people as many others had done, by leaving the blind at the gate in the city as he came in, by not just leaving them. He saw people around them. He didn't just blindly go about his business. It's Tuesday. This is what I do on a Tuesday and get on with it. He saw the pain, the hurt around him. When the woman with the issue of blood touched him, he felt something leave him. He felt the issues of the people around him. And he was able to then address their needs because that compassion stirred something in him and he did something about it. Well, God is really challenging me about this when I think of what it is for us to be God's people today, what it is to be a Christian, and the message that we should be sharing to those around us. And I was really pondering all of these things when earlier this week I saw a documentary in which God really challenged me, a documentary on BBC4. Which I don't normally watch. I was about to go to bed. I wanted to just have something that was reasonably uplifting that would just wind me down before I went to bed. So I was channel hopping, went through all the channels with all the dross and misery and betrayal and all the other stuff that you can imagine being on there, and came across this documentary. It was uplifting, it was inspiring, and it was underpinned at the very heart of it with compassion. I'm going to show you two video clips. The first one sets the scene. If you lived in the UK in 1984, you almost certainly will have seen this news bulletin clip. It is one of the most memorable, most impactful ever to be broadcast. Just watch this.
Dawn, and as the sun breaks through the piercing chill of night on the plain outside Coram, it lights up a biblical famine, now in the 20th century. This place, say workers here, is the closest thing to hell on earth. Thousands of wasted people are coming here for help. Many find only death. They flood in every day from villages hundreds of miles away, dulled by hunger, driven beyond the point of desperation.
Pause it there for a moment. The documentary was about that incident and one person's response to the incident. It was shown on BBC Four, and I want to encourage you to take some time and watch it, perhaps on iPlayer if you have access to that. It was a documentary in which Alan Yentob interviewed Sir Bob Geldof. And in the process of this interview, Bob spoke about how he saw that interview. I wonder where you were when you, sorry, that bulletin. Where were you when you saw it? He said he was sitting on the settee with his partner, Paula. They just had a newborn child, which probably influenced him in particular. But then he said, after they'd watched it, they were kind of silenced and stunned. And he looked at Paula with tears flowing down her face. And then he went on to say this about that whole scene and what else he observed.
These are mums and dads. And they're clutching these bags of their children and giving them whatever in order to help them live. Further in the report, Claire, a young nurse, and this killed me and still does. This woman, this girl, I don't know, 21, there's a little stone mud wall, and there's these endless people in a line, silent, elegant, dignified, dying, starving. And this girl has got a certain amount, I think it's perhaps butter oil or grain, whatever. And she has to pick who'll live and who'll die.
It breaks my heart, but at least I can see some of the ones that I am helping here. And that helps when you do see the ones that survive.
No one should ever have to do that. Not a 21-year-old girl in the middle of Africa, a nurse. But what I remember most pertinently, there was a little fella who got kind of to the front. This could be wrong, but I remember this image. And the distribution of food is over, and he doesn't get any. And he just lays his head wearily on the mud wall. That's not allowable.
Well, Bob went on to get fellow musicians to put a record together called Live Aid, that single that did so much to bring awareness. Then a single was produced in the United States as well on the back of that. And then they put together a a concert the following year, which was broadcast to more than a billion people worldwide, of the concert that took place in both, I think, simultaneously in Philadelphia and Wembley Stadium. It was the most viewed event in history at that time. And it started with compassion of someone sitting on a settee. In the process, it made a real difference. I think they raised something like, in today's money, £600 million, where people were stirred to act and do something. It's that kind of compassion that I believe reflects the heart of God this Christmas. And those images that we saw a few minutes ago were not relegated to just that time. We see them again today, almost exactly like that. We've seen images of people suffering following the floods in Pakistan, in Somalia, and these very regions of Ethiopia. People starving through a new famine today in these parts of the world. But we look at them, and it's possible to just feel a little sad and then walk away. All of these problems, all the things we see around us in the world, in our own country, we can't do anything about that, can we? Tell that to Bob Geldof. But we're an older church and we're older people. Tell that to Eva, 100 years old. I believe God is really challenging me and causing me to see people and situations with a different heart. I think he wants me to see things with his heart that he's breaking for these situations. And I believe he's doing that in our church. And I believe when I listen to you praying, as you have been, for Ukraine, knowing how much Ukraine and the fact that they can't produce crops there in the way that they should normally and then ship them, which means that next year people in Africa will die. When I hear you pray about that and pray for the famine in East Africa and pray for what's been taking place in Pakistan and Yemen and Afghanistan, and so it goes on, I hear the tears. I hear that kind of guttural prayer that is not just listing stuff. It is your compassion. That's, and particularly in prayer, is one of the things I believe God has called us as a church to be, to do. It's one of the things I think that identifies who we are. I believe we can pray into these situations. On Wednesday, when we may be thinking about taking something for Beacon House, for people who have found themselves living on the street, many of whom perhaps have mental health issues, many perhaps have come from broken homes, perhaps suffered from violence, domestic violence, find themselves on the street. I wonder whether a gift from us could be something that just picks a person up and says, you matter. I wonder whether just a little bit of money that we could offer towards Operation Christmas Child means that one more shoebox can be sent, one more child who might have very little or nothing would know someone in this world cares, loves me. And through that, God does his thing and God speaks and his love is shared in this world. Small gestures that say something really powerful about someone in this world caring. That's what compassion does. At Christmas, Jesus came to bring hope and he came to bring salvation, but he revealed it to all the people around him through compassion. Perhaps this Christmas, we might find ourselves in an opportunity, having an opportunity, not just to say, but to show what Jesus came into this world for. So I want to invite you to do something. Pray a really simple prayer, routinely, regularly, and ask God to open your eyes to see people as he sees people, more and more, whatever the situation. No judgment, just seeing people with God's heart. And then ask him to give you and us the courage to do things about it, not just to walk by on the other side of the street, as so many people have been doing for the different characters and these stories and incidents in Jesus' life that we looked at, but actually to take notice. Who might God bring to us? God's not asking you to write a record. That was Geldof's department. That was uniquely him. He gave Ava the job that she could do. Some of you have come to me and expressed a desire to repeat what we did last Christmas, to give a small gift to people who are working over the Christmas period in hospitals, people who often are criticized and moaned at, to say, thank you, we care about you. It made such a difference last year, and many of you said, could we do it again this year? What else might God invite us to do as we ask him, Lord, show us what's breaking your heart? Will you do that? Can we do that as a church? And not just give a Christmas message, but this time show as well what Jesus came into this world for. Let's pray.